Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Student Body Right, the complete college football podcast. I'm your host, as always, Nick Belinchak, and I'm excited because on Saturday night, we had two football games. And really, at the end of the day, they were two games that were both very much the same and completely opposite. And we'll discuss that today as we hop into the podcast. Hey, first-time listeners, why don't you check us out at studentbodyright.com? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Student Body Right, and you can find me on Twitter at Nick from CWE. Hope everyone enjoyed their week zero college football slate. It was a prosperous one for me. In addition to college football, I had a great preseason NFL slate on at least three of the 4 days, if not all four. Largely, that is due to the folks at DFS Headquarters. You can find us on Twitter and online at dfsheadquarters.com. And I also finished second in the NASCAR King of the Road tournament. I would have finished it first. Literally, there was nothing more tilting than watching a race, seeing your driver on the final turn when he really didn't have anyone heating his back bumper. Maybe Austin Cindric did, but they were following Christopher Bell to the win. And Matty D just skids off into the side and proceeds to lose 28 spots, and that effectively took me from not just winning the week and getting that $1,000, but winning the tournament and getting $5,000. I had to settle for $3,500. It is what it is. I'm excited. We're going to put that money to good use, betting on college football and playing college football daily fantasy. Now, Saturday was a fun day. I mean, come on. Like, it couldn't have been any better. I don't care who would have played. When I saw the schedule and I saw that it was Florida and Miami, I did cringe because those were two defenses that I expected to be pretty good this year, and especially on the Miami side of the ball, as advertised. Like, that Miami defense is legit. The Florida defense is very good too, but I really think the Miami defense is very much legit. It gave Florida headaches for the most part. Aside from the Kadarius Toney, and if you listen to our podcast, he was my favorite value play of the week. He had a very, very good week. Was on tournament winning lineups everywhere. Outside of that, they did a really, really good job containing Felipe Franks and LaMichael Perine. I really can't say enough good about the Miami defense. Now, the Miami offense, on the other hand, I think you have to pause and take a step back and realize, number one, this is probably some of the toughest competition that they're going to play all year. Florida is a legit defense, 100% a legit defense. Miami's going to face softer competition. So I don't want to write Jaron Williams off. He had two offensive linemen. I think both of the tackles are freshmen. The center hasn't played much. So when you're dealing with 60% of an offensive line that has little to no experience, there's no wonder why you're going to struggle a little bit. And Drew, who you'll meet eventually, he is a very big Miami Hurricanes fan. We were texting back and forth during all this, and you know, they had some good series on offense, but the vast majority of them seemed a little bit confused, a little bit rushed, a little bit like they didn't have it yet. And I think this is a team, there's going to be some teams that because of their experience just right out of the gate are going to be able to look like they're in mid-season form. I think it's going to take time for Miami. Good things to see. DJ Dallas looks like a monster. Great hands. Very good vision down the field. He's seeing layers ahead. You know, he can pick apart the defense and see where the holes are going to be. And ultimately, the biggest negative you could say about this Florida defense is they can't tackle. They're unwilling tacklers or they're bad tacklers. It's one of the two. And when they go into face tougher competition, it's going to bite them. They will not be the number 8 team in the country for long. They will, and I'm not saying that to be cute because that literally gives me a plethora of options, which ways they can go. They will not be a top 10 team. I would not be surprised if they're not a top 20 team. I'm getting very bearish on Florida already. If anybody listened to the College Football Pros podcast back in the day, I was literally the first person to point Christian Hackenberg out as being a complete and total fraud. Felipe Franks is my new Christian Hackenberg. He is very poor decision maker. Consistently, it's not just one thing. And a lot of my reason for my hate is because of my daily fantasy usage of him last year. I would put him in great situations like against Missouri. And if you watched Missouri football last year, you knew that everybody, you know, it was the taco buy for the fans of the league. It was like the matchup that you got that you just knew you could hammer the opponents against them because the defense was really bad. They were, you know, going to score points. Missouri's offense was good enough with Emmanuel Hall at the time that they were going to be able to stay in the games. And Felipe Franks just sucked. I mean, he did not have anything together, made errant and poor throws. And a lot of people that I've heard in the industry, like, it surprises me somehow that people who are, you know, touted so much can look at it and look at a guy like Franks and say, well, down the stretch, he played good football. Who did he play? Like, that's a legit question, I think, you know, to ask, because it's very easy to just pass off the idea that he was very good football player down the stretch. But if he played a bunch of teams that really weren't high functioning defenses, or even for that point, high functioning offenses either, of course he's going to look good. You expect him to look good. There's a problem if he doesn't look good, right? So to me, that's really the biggest thing here. And I'm just kind of looking down where I think he had these good games, and it was South Carolina, trash, Idaho, trash, Florida State, trash. So you're going to sit here and tell me, after this dude tosses 126 yards at home against Missouri, they took him out of the game, I'm pretty sure, actually. He was that bad. 105 yards against Georgia, 284 against Vanderbilt, 161 against LSU, 219 against Mississippi State. Like, there's a pattern forming. When he's playing against defenses that are going to lay down and let you make your own bed and do whatever you want, make your cake, eat it too, the whole nine yards, any you know, phrase that I could possibly turn in there, this is what happens. And so – Idaho's not even an FB, you know, they're not even a Division I team. They've transplanted back out. So I was very, very, very much coming into the season, like, very, 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 very bearish on Franks. And I think at best he's going to be a matchup based option. And while I did pick pick Jaren Williams to have a better fantasy game, Franks did, and that's the end of the day. But he was still in the bottom half of quarterbacks who played that day in terms of their fantasy scoring. So overall, not impressed with what I saw outside of really the Miami defense, and I think that's going to be the thing that keeps them in a lot of games this year. I think you'll see a lot of DJ Dallas in favorable situations, because at the end of the day, they still need to let Jaren Williams develop. So that is what I saw in the first game, and very excited to talk about this next one. The nightcap. We knew coming in when it had a total that was like 25 points higher than the early evening game between Miami and Florida. We knew Arizona at Hawaii was going to be a barn burner, and it lived up to the hype. Again, you can look at this game, and it had, like I said, it had so many similarities to the first game. Number one, very close, nail-biting, down to the end of the game type situations, right? A lot of inconsistency. I mean, so much inconsistency that it's at one point, And granted, it was early on in the second quarter. I was convinced it was going to be like 35-0 Arizona, and that the Khalil Tate of 2017 was just a figment of our imagination, something that we're never going to see again. And that whole second quarter, boom, flipped the switch. Hawaii still handled the game, but here comes Arizona back into it. Third quarter comes about. This Hawaii coach, like, he doesn't care. You're not safe if you're a football player for the University of Hawaii. There's no such thing as job security. Because Cole McDonald, who was just rolling all over the Arizona Wildcats, was pulled from the game because he threw four interceptions, leaving way to Chevin Cordero, who looked good. But at the end of the day, that's going to be a tough situation, and teams don't get ahead just flat. You don't get ahead by flipping out your quarterbacks. I mean, we saw Ohio State try to do it with three quarterbacks and then two quarterbacks. It's just not advantageous. Just pick one, settle on one, ride them to where you need to go. That's it. That sounds old school, but at the end of the day, that's what you do, because they have to develop some sense of confidence. What happens to Chevin Cordero if he doesn't start the next game? You know, Cole McDonald's, his confidence has to be a little bit shot. He led four or five touchdown drives straight down the field. That wasn't good enough. He still got yanked because of making ill-advised throws. If Cordero doesn't get the start, what's he going to think? Is he going to think he didn't do a good enough job because he's not getting the start? So there's multiple layers and context to really consider here. Overall, it's what I expected out of Hawaii. I think that the commentators gave way too much credit to the Hawaii defense. I do not believe for one second Hawaii has a good defense. I believe more than anything else, Kevin Sumlin is an awful coach, horrible coach, terrible coach. Looks like he's going to be a little bit better for fantasy this year, at least with Khalil Tate, just because they want to run a very, 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 very fast-paced offense. And that's not what the University of Hawaii was trying to do either. Much to my surprise, they were very content with slowing the pace down. Yes, they were still throwing deep passes, but they were trying to let as much time run off the clock, especially once they got out to a 3-touchdown lead. But Kevin Sumlin is an idiot, mark my words. I don't expect him to make it through the season unless things change around dramatically. Like, I'm not taking anything away from Hawaii, but this is a game Arizona should have won regardless of where it was played. I don't care if it was played in Hawaii, Arizona, on the moon, in my basement. Arizona should have won this game. And they almost came back, and what was an absolutely thrilling 30-second drive, Khalil Tate led the team down the field. You can tell all the way through this game that this team is not together. I mean, and that's one of the areas where I really think Kevin Sumlin is an idiot. Like, he's not a coach that brings the team together. They looked completely out of sync at all points, and you can point to the fact that, well, you know, Sean Brown is gone and Tony Ellison is gone, and these guys that were – you know, the mainstays in the offense last year aren't that. That's college football. I hate to break it to you. Look at the two deep of any college football team. Like 90% of them have turnover each and every year, and not every team comes out there looking like they're completely lost. From a fantasy perspective, this receiving core is Washington State. It's just going to be a bunch of guys, and you're constantly going to pick the wrong one every week. I don't think that we're going to see a situation. We saw Cedric Peterson, who was believed to be their number one guy, see one target. Boobie Dixon saw none. Brian Castile saw a few. Jameer Joyner, I know that's not right. That's a former player, but his last name is Joyner, the former quarterback. He saw the vast majority of work with Stanley Berryhill. But I'm telling you what, the next time they play, it could all be in reverse, and Boobie Dixon has 14 catches and Cedric Peterson has 2 touchdowns. That's just somehow how things work in college football. You're never ahead of the game. You're always kind of playing in reverse. Maybe the most surprising thing was just the rotation of the Arizona backfield. Like, we knew coming into it that P. Ryan, DJ Dallas, those guys were going to be solid. Cameron Harris, Malik Davis, guys like that were going to have some kind of a role with those two teams. We knew that Hawaii was going to just cycle through Dayton Faruta, Fred Hawley, and then it ended up being Reed at the end of the day because those other two just couldn't keep the ball in the possession of the University of Hawaii. But J.J. Taylor just looked bad initially. He got it together, had a very strong second half, including breaking off a very big touchdown run, which saved his fantasy day, but still kept him below, I think, both Harris and Perine. And then Gary Brightwell wasn't really used. They had a few different running backs who were coming in there. They're definitely using a gadget player, which is again going to muddle things up significantly. It's going to be tough sledding for how everybody. Michael Wiley, that's the name to look at. 3 for 50, 3 carries for 3 yards. All right, like that's obviously not impressive, but it's whatever. He's just going to have to be someone to watch because they really tried to get him involved. Gary Brightwell didn't have a carry. He had 1 catch for 11 yards. Beyond that, I mean, we had Tavian Cunningham, Nathan Tilford, both had carries over Brightwell. So, and Brightwell was a pretty popular like value play, and you know, obviously that just didn't happen. It went very poorly. It finished with 2.1 fantasy points, and at his price, it doesn't matter how much you cost unless you're mispriced at like $100. That's a killer. On the Hawaii side of the ball, I think we saw a lot of good things. First of all, Dayton Faruta had a really nice game until he started to fumble. Averaging 8.4 yards, 1 touchdown, only got 5 carries, but he made the best of them. Very clear to see how the pecking order, I think, breaks down for this Hawaii team. It's clear that, you know, Cedric Bird is now in the John Ursua role. He should get the vast majority of the attention of the quarterback, regardless who's playing. Finished 14 for 224 and 4 touchdowns and had another carry for 3 yards. That is a massive stat line. I mean, thank goodness I had him as my captain in the single game showdown. Very close to taking it down because I also had Jameer Joyner. So I did have a right. And he had a big game, 472 for one for like $3,100. Was pretty widely owned too, 17-18% in the $10 tournament. Beyond Cedric Bird, though, in Hawaii, JoJo Ward only had 4 receptions for 70 yards and a touchdown. I do think he's still going to be the number two guy there. I do think James Smart and Jason Matthew Sharsh are going to be potentially better PPR options. I think that Ward is going to be a touchdown guy. And I think the other two can get there on just points per reception. Biggest thing to note, Melquiz Stovall did not see the field, at least from what I saw on offense. James Phillips got in there a few times, and he was like the sixth receiver. But Stovall, who many thought was going to be the slot guy, and it ended up being Jason Matthew Sharsh, was only used on punt and kick returns. So just moving forward, I don't think right now, especially after Hawaii won, that we are going to see that team try to switch things up at all. I think they'll keep that core moving forward, and I just hope we get to see them on more fantasy slates. Unfortunately, they are not going to be on week one. They get the bye week, and then they get to play Oregon State at home, which is actually a really, really good opportunity for them, for the running game specifically, of which is a headache. I would hope that DraftKings would put this game on the late night slate. That would be really good. And then Arizona goes on to take on an out-of-division opponent after a bye week in week one. So, yeah, great first, you know, week of college football, I think. It had everything you could want out of it. It's going to be an interesting year. This week is going to be a big tell of how things are going to go moving forward. I am optimistic that we will see all the depth charts dropped by probably like Wednesday at the latest. I'm going to put together a free article just for this week, and it's probably going to be centered around the Saturday slate. So you can check that out at studentbodyright.com. Otherwise, checks back tomorrow. We'll be talking about what's going on in the landscape of college football as we head toward week one. Thanks again for watching once again, listening once again. Check us out at studentbodyright.com, on Facebook and Twitter at studentbodyright. And you can find me on Twitter at Nick from CWE. Catch you next time.